CNCFlare.com presents Two Cents Worth, a podcast on B2B sales and entrepreneurship. The one podcast that's not afraid to discuss real sales strategies with real entrepreneurs that produce real results. Every day I'm hustling. Here's your host, James Harper.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome back to the Two Cents Worth podcast. I'm your host, James Harper. Action packed with actionable strategies is exactly how I would describe this episode. I had the wonderful opportunity to speak with Nick Abraham with Elevate Leads. Nick and I have a ton of similarities. We both run sales agencies. We both are very passionate about the outbound sales world, which, as you probably know, is a kind of a crazy, weird niche. And we're always trying to find creative and innovative, authentic ways to engage cold prospects. In this 30-minute episode, you are going to learn two or three actionable strategies from Nick that you can implement into your sales strategy right now. Nick's always thinking of new ways to engage cold prospects, to have qualified conversations with you. And I love his authenticity and I love his creativity. With that being said, without any further ado, please welcome Nick Abraham.
Hey, Nick, what's up, man? Thanks for joining me here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Nick, why don't we, just to get familiar and bring everyone else up to speed, you're in the B2B sales space, really the outbound sales space, similar to myself, which I think there's a lot of similarities and comparisons between kind of what I do in the outbound sales world and then what you do. But just for the sake of introduction, why don't you just bring everyone up to speed and tell us who you are and what you do?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. So I'm the CEO of Elevate Leads. We are an outbound agency. We work with a lot of marketing agencies and SaaS companies. And our goal is just to really fill up their calendar with appointments. And we just do it all through outbound marketing, outbound approaches and stuff. And we're really unique in a sense because I feel like the marketing space is really, you know, just overdone. Like, I feel like everyone's hitting up CEOs, founders, and our goal is just to really do personalized outreach at scale, just to fill up the calendars. It's pretty much our entire thing.
Yeah. And I have to let you know, I've actually dropped your name on a podcast I was on last month because you actually reached out to me with probably the best cold outreach I've ever been hit with. And as a sales guy myself, I'm always looking for this. And I'm just, I was actually on this guy named Damon, his podcast called Learning From Others, and he's got a good marketing podcast. And he said, what's the best outreach you've ever been hit with? And I actually dropped your example, which I'll talk about here. You you hit me with a LinkedIn message that said, hi, F name, like almost as if like you forgot to like auto merge my name on LinkedIn. And then like the next line said something like, just kidding. I know your name's James. I'm reaching out because you're in the sales space, blah, blah, blah. And then you hit me with your message. But when I first saw that on the LinkedIn request that said, hi, F name, I was like, oh, I'm going to kill this guy. And then like, I read the message and literally I put it in my team's Slack channel and we all laughed. And I promise I'm going to copy that. I'm going to steal that from you. I haven't yet.
Go for it.
But I thought that was really unique, man. So how'd you come up with that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think with LinkedIn, once again, everyone's getting hit with these outbound messages that are completely automated, right? And so my thing, you know, to be completely honest, that was completely automated. But my thing is if you can get your prospect to just kind of laugh or just, you know, drop their, you know, their guard a little bit, and then come in with some personalization, they're always going to be more open to get on a call with you. They're always going to want to work with you or, you know, have a conversation started instead of, you know, all these people that are doing LinkedIn outbound and it's just going straight to the sales pitch. Like, you know, you wouldn't just go up to a girl and say, hey, can you be my girlfriend? You're going to say, hey, you know, can I take you out to lunch? Can I, you know, kind of, you know, build up that rapport? Can I then, you know, build something up? And then you go for the kill. You ask them, hey, will you be my girlfriend? So that's kind of like my approach. Like, just try to get a response first and then, you know, try to build on and try to get a relationship and get a sale. That's at the end of the day, relationships is, or sales is really relationships. And so you got to get your way in first. So
yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right. And I think your approach is great. And whether it was automated or not, it made me laugh. Still makes me laugh. And actually, that guy Damon, when I told him this, he laughed too on that podcast, and now him and I just refer to each other as F name. Like every time we email, we say, "Hey, F name."
That's and hilarious.
I sent him a screenshot of your outreach, so it's kind of a within my little circle, you're known. With that being said, man, outbound sales is I think it's a strange niche part of the sales process, right? It's the first point of contact in any great sales cycle, and I think it's often the most overlooked. I also think clients have the wrong perception of outbound sales. Sometimes they feel like it's just you turn on the switch and you get an appointment. That's not always the case. Outbound sales isn't like plastering a Google AdWord up and then getting a lead, right? It's like there takes some effort and some follow-up and some strategy to go into it. I'm just curious from your standpoint, when you define outbound sales, what's that mean to you?
So to me, that just means like you're going out. That's a great question. So what I would say is it's mostly just about going out and getting attention. Like, you know, most businesses, if you're small and you don't, like, you know, you're not coming in with a big name. Like, how do you get your name out there outside of really going out to your customers and saying, "Hey, this is what I do. Are you interested? I can crush it for you." Right. So that's what, for me, that's what outbound sales is. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, I mean, if you're doing anything service related, obviously if you do products, it's a little bit different, but anything high ticket service wise, like to get your name out there, like posting on Facebook and, you know, showing your friends and family that you started a business isn't going to do anything for you. You got to go out and get that attention. You got to go out and get that traffic. You got to get prospects to say, "Okay, I'm interested in what you're doing. Let's get on a call." So that's like, for me, what outbound sales really is. It's just really like going out and getting, you know, attention.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I kind of, in a similar path, but different words, I say marketing's like waiting for opportunity and then capitalizing on it when it does come. And like outbound sales for me is like creating opportunity. Like I want to go out there and try to create opportunity just because I'm impatient. I don't want to like wait. Not saying that marketing doesn't play a role, definitely plays a role in things. But when it's like high level B2B service-based businesses, I think the outbound game is so critical and often overlooked. Along those lines, Nick, someone like yourself who's really entrenched in the B2B sales world, more specifically the outbound sales world, what do you think some of the biggest kind of trends are right now in the sales game, especially coming out of a pandemic? Just walk me through what you see, what's hot right now
in terms of like what's good or what's bad.
Yeah, what's good.
Okay, yeah, what's good right now in Twitter, it's going absolutely crazy. So I got introduced to this method, and it's kind of like a growth hack method. I got introduced to this method from a book by Aaron Ross. In his book, he grew a massive sales SaaS company to like 100 mil. And basically what it is, you know, you have a research department that, you know, supplies your SDRs with the like background information on your prospects. So whenever they do the outbound calls, outbound messaging, they can instantly build rapport because they have some kind of, you know, research background on that prospect.
Sure.
And so right now on Twitter, the whole entire thing is in your cold emails. Instead of, you know, because if you personalize cold emails yourself, you're going to send about, you know, 20 to 30 a day. Now what they're doing is they're having these researchers, they call them first line writers. And what they'll do is they'll have their list of prospects, and these first line writers will literally go in and write something very, very, very specific about the prospect. And then you just use mail merge features on like, you know, GMAS or Mailshake to just combine it all and send out, you know, mass amounts of messages that are completely personalized and can't be sent to anybody else. And so right now that's popping off and the response rates are incredible. And we've been implementing this strategy into our business for a while now before it became really popular. And it's absolutely insane because now your prospects are seeing your messages and seeing, okay, this is definitely not shared to anybody else in the world. This is specifically just for me. Let me give him the time of day to respond. And then response rates out the roof. Then you come in with an outbound call. It's super easy to get appointments nowadays. So I think that right there is a killer strategy. And then what is something bad that everyone's doing? And I think this is just, everyone's just automating outbound messages on LinkedIn that just go straight for the offer. Like that's not gonna work. So those are like my two things that I'm seeing right now.
I think that's, man, that's a great growth hack. And actually, again, that's something I'm thinking while you're talking through this. I'm like, All right. I know that my team listens to this podcast maybe like once every 10 episodes. I'm going to be like, hey, go listen to what Nick just said this episode. We actually do something similar. What we do is like we'll look at a LinkedIn profile. Twitter's interesting. I do think Twitter's actually an underused prospecting platform in ways. Personally, Twitter's my favorite social platform, but that's just me.
Yeah.
But what we've been doing is we'll take a line or two from a LinkedIn bio or a more recent post. So something like, hey, Nick, just saw that you commented or liked or engaged with Bob Smith's post on whatever, right? And then we'll like literally comment if we'll go to like someone that we know is our target that might have a popular LinkedIn post. Everyone that comments on it could be a potential prospect or liked it. And we'll just go through that list.
And yeah. So to kind of go back on that, what I meant was like this method has been going crazy on Twitter, but we actually go through LinkedIn first, go through their post. And if it's not there, we'll go to websites and then other social media profiles.
Gotcha.
But similar thing. Yes.
Got it. I love that, man. And in all reality, the truth is I talk about automation doesn't close deals. Automation needs to save you time and be more efficient. I still believe a good sale begins and ends on someone like trusting you and the relationship, especially a high level B2B sale. Where the automation gets it wrong is there's just a lot of bad scaled automation out there. What you're doing is actually still genuine, because once that prospect engages with you, then you're setting a genuine appointment that are real conversations to be had, which I think is really, really important. I'm just curious, I mean, being in the appointment setting industry, again, it's a niche industry. You and I both kind of play in the space. What channels do you see convert the best right now?
Yeah, for us, it's strictly just cold email and LinkedIn outbound. I think those are the two best places. It's just, you got to have some kind of personalization in it. And then like, once again, I completely agree. Automation just helps you save the time. And just kind of really, just really save the time. So if you can learn how to, you know, really leverage automation and still be able to personalize at a high level without just using tags, like there's absolutely no way you can't get meetings set up. Like absolutely none. Like for example, for LinkedIn outbound, we want our prospects to know that this is not an automated message. We will send voice memos. So they, you know, you can't automate voice memos. And, and if they hear, hey, James, I saw that you're doing X, Y, Z. Like, they're going to be like, okay, you can't send this to anybody else in the world. Of course, this is for me. And so we just want that point, like really just get across straightforward. And so, you know, our entire thing is just be omni-channel, be personalized, sprinkle in automation, but sprinkle in a lot of personalization. And if you just kind of figure out the right systems to kind of do that at a really high level, it's amazing. It's just your pipeline's always going to be full year round.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. One of Sanju Stephen is his name, or Stefan potentially, a outbounder that I interviewed in India. Man, I thought he's just said a line that has stuck with me. He's like, prospecting needs to be continuous. And I think so many companies just try to get like that quick shot in the arm. And yeah, they might feel a little bit of a pipeline blitz and see some uptick, but then they kind of get fat and happy, if you will, and then like try to chill. And then all of a sudden they're in the same boat, their pipeline dries up and then they're scrambling. So I just think like prospecting needs to be continuous. And I think 2020 taught us a lot of B2B companies like, hey, this is actually like the lifeblood of our business.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like, for me, like when I'm prospecting, like I tell all our SDRs, like you either want a yes or you want a no. Like you don't want to ever get ghosted. And so, you know, if you could figure out how to automate a lot of the follow-ups and like still sprinkle in personalization here and there, like that's the way to do it. Because at the end of the day, you got to get that response and you got to build a relationship. And like I've had, like we've followed up with prospects that initially said no or just didn't respond, and we followed up with them for about like a month, 2 months, 3 months, and then they're just like, okay, fine, you've been following up with me forever, let's get on a meeting, let's see what this is about. And I think that just is, this is amazing. So yeah, relationships, sales, same thing. It's like you got to get that thing. At the end of the day, you're solving people's problems, so it's like you got to build a relationship. I'm
absolutely
I'm totally against like the spray and pray method and people just like trying to just get that quick sale going. Cause you know, if you want to build a business, you got to build for the long term. It's not something that's just going to happen overnight. So that's like 100%. My entire thing on that.
100%. You got to think profit, not paycheck. I'm just curious, Nick, how'd you get here? No one just like raises their hands when they're like 10 years old and says, I want to be in outbound sales. Like, honestly, I would have thrown up on myself in high school if I would have thought like, oh, I run a company that sets sales appointments for people with cold contacts. I would have that's just cringeworthy like to mm-hmm. think about, but I've embraced it. I love it. This is what I do and what I love. So how'd you get here?
Yeah. So I've always been kind of like doing a whole bunch of random business stuff. Like in middle school, I used to make custom socks and sell them. In high school, like I would just do a whole bunch of random things, throw basketball tournaments. Really, when I started getting into like the marketing space and really started growing like agencies and stuff like that, my freshman year, I grew an Instagram page to 50,000 followers. And it really kind of opened my eyes that, you know, a 9-to-5 job isn't what is always needed. Like for me, I was raised Indian household. Like my parents, 9-to-5, get to be a lawyer, be a doctor. Like you, like when I started that Instagram page, started making money off of it, I was like, you know, I don't need to do that. I really don't. Right. And so then I was like, okay, you know, I have a really good skill set. Why don't I do this for other people? And so that started my first agency. And, you know, just like anybody, any college kid, you find out really easily that it's really hard to do all this stuff and really building out all the systems. Cause like none of your family or friends is going to want to pay you, you know, $1,000+ per month to manage their Instagram page. Right. So you have to figure mm-hmm. out how to go out and get these people interested in your business. And that really took me down a whole like realm of things. Right. I got all my first clients. I was like my first like 10 clients, I think, from just outbound emails. And I, you know, it was just me, myself. I didn't have any systems and processes. And I was like, okay, how do I do this? And, you know, I figured out all the limitations behind Gmail, like how many emails you could send a day, what works in terms of email copy, all that stuff. And this by doing that, I really just started to fall in love with it. Cause like eventually once we got to like, I think like our 15th client on the Instagram management side, I was like, I hate this stuff. This is like,
yeah,
it's cause it has a high churn and everything. And I just didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. And so I was like, this outbound sales stuff, that was really cool. Cause I was like, when I had all my VAs manage those pages, I was just thinking in the back end, like, okay, what do I got to do today to get another appointment? What can I do to like, you know, like all these growth hacks? I was like, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? And so that just took me down a whole bunch of different holes. And I was just figuring out all these cool ways to do outbound, like prospecting and just getting these appointments set up. And that's just really what built this out really for me.
That's funny. That's we have, again, similar stories. I have a marketing agency background, and mm-hmm. I just basically had to learn how to like survive with like, you know, sales. And by the time I was running my agency, you know, I had a mortgage, I had my first child on the way. Like, so I had like some like high stake responsibility, and like sales just kind of like really just were the lifeblood of my agency. And I had to kind of like that old corporate sales analogy, like, you eat what you kill, you know, mm-hmm. and I had to kind of go out there and learn how to get people who had no idea who I was to listen to me and then mm-hmm. obviously become a client. I'm curious. So what do your parents think you do for work?
That's funny. I made a LinkedIn post about this recently.
Oh, really?
That's funny. My parents are not like tech savvy at all. They don't really know anything about the business world, especially agency stuff. So my mom, she literally asked me like 2 weeks ago, like, what are you doing? Like, I don't get it. Like, you're going every morning to your office. Like, what are you doing during the day? And I'm like, I just send emails. That's all I do. I just send really good emails. And then she's like, oh, okay, I guess. And so, yeah, it's funny. But yeah, that's pretty much what I tell family and friends. Like, I just send emails and I get appointments set up for people. That's about it.
Yeah, that's funny. I asked my mom for the very first time ever. Actually, I do actually recall seeing that post now that you say that. Uh-huh. You put like a nice photo of your mom and all of that. Mm-hmm. But I just totally wanted to randomly ask you that because I've been hearing like salespeople like be like, ask your mom what like you do, and the responses are funny. I finally asked my mom. I've kind of been on my own since I was 17, and mm-hmm. my mom and I have had this crazy rocky relationship, just now rekindling it. And then I'm like, hey mom, and she just knows that I'm good. She just knows like, okay, like thank God, like my oldest son like made it, he's okay, you know, like yeah. he's doing well. I'm like, mom, what do you think I do? She's like, well, you just like I mean, she's like, I'm going to sound weird saying this, but like, you just like put up like billboards for people's businesses. I'm like, what? Like billboards. I'm like, where did
this even hilarious. Come
from? So yeah, I like walked her through it and she's like, gosh, that just sounds awful. Like set, like trying to set appointments for people. So
yeah,
I think it's always a trip because you got to think when our parents, I mean, are your parents from India?
Yeah, they were from India. They moved down here when they were like in their, I think, early 30s around there.
Oh, cool.
And so, cool. Yeah, so they're completely like, they don't understand any of this stuff, but they're doing great.
That's funny. Dude, India's sales culture is highly competitive.
Really?
Oh my gosh, man. I got three team members in India, like full time. I love these guys to death, man. But like, because now there's so many outsourced sales reps for different industries in India. They're always competing for jobs, man. So like you'll get like the Indian outbounder that can like make 1,000 calls a day. and then like you get these guys that just understand like LinkedIn automation and email so much, which is kind of more the cloth my team's cut from. But I've just learned now, and I've had Indian business partners for 5 years now. And what I've learned about the culture is like just the job market over there is so competitive.
Yeah.
That like everything is a sale to them in terms of just like there's such a big pool of people and limited jobs, especially when they're outsourced to the US. Like they always just feel like they're selling just to like get the next promotion and all of that, which I think actually has bred some really great sales pros from India.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because it's like, you know, the pay wage is absolutely insane because it's like in India they value, and this is what thing I don't really like about just how it's all brought up there. It's just like if you graduate from school here and you're an average software developer, you're going to get paid like $30 per hour. Right. But in India, they'll literally come to you and say, hey, and they'll be like pros at software development, absolute killers at software development. They'll get paid $15 per hour, which is absolutely insane because it's like, you're valued at so much more. And I wish that a lot of them would see that and just be like, hey, like, this is what I'm worth. And you pitch it at that size. Cause it's
100%, man. I think that's so big. We pay our Indian sales reps really well. Right. Obviously I would have to, full disclosure, I'd have to pay, my sales reps here more money just because of the economic currency and just how the world works. But I will tell you this, man, we pay our reps really well. It's a great salary for them over there that provides a great life. But one made a comment to me actually just a few weeks ago and he said, we have like incentive structures in place, like quarter over quarter. Like if the company grows, then their salary grows and they get bonuses, so on and so forth. And one said, hey boss, I've never ever made a penny more than my base salary here. Like he's like, it's just amazing to me that like we can now like have incentives. And he doesn't come from a sales background. He comes from more of a customer support background. And he's like, that's just not like typical over here. Like you get your salary and you're grateful for it. And like the fact that like, you know, we can put in like, you know, Christmas bonuses and things like this, like it's just like a different world to them. But I think it's cool, man.
Yeah. I love that too. Same thing with us. Like one of my, during like the peak of COVID and stuff in the Philippines, like there was a lot of foreclosures and one of my employees was actually missing a lot of his mortgage bills. And this is when we first brought him on. And it was just a really cool feeling. Cause like, I didn't even know, but like 9 months down the line, he was like, Nick, like, dude, I owe my life to you. Like I literally was able to pay off my mortgage working with you. Cause the same thing, we have incentives. We have like a lot of incentives within our business. And he's an absolute killer. Like, and then this is the other thing, like, no offense, but a lot of people that come out of college in America, they just don't have the skill sets or the will or the drive to be really good employees and really good workers. In the Philippines and India, they're working their ass off day in, day out, and they're going to do way more than what you ask them. Like sometimes I've had, and I didn't notice this from him either. Like sometimes he wouldn't finish his work in time, which is okay. Cause like sometimes I overload a little bit. Right. And he wouldn't even tell me, and he would do the work.
I know,
and
man.
Stuff like that. And it's like you will never find anyone like that. You will find some people like that in America, but every single prospect or every single employee that you hire from like the Philippines and India, like they're going to work their ass off for you.
It's intrinsic motivation versus extrinsic. And I can tell you like they all got skin of the game. I'm actually flying my whole Indian team out here the summer. Yeah.
Oh, man, wow. That's awesome.
It's they're pumped, man. We're going to do 2 weeks out here in Colorado. They like want to try Chick-fil-A.
That's hilarious. So,
yeah, it's cool, man. Hey, let's end with this real fast, man. And I'd love to have you back on because I think give just tangible, actionable advice. And a lot of the entrepreneurs that listen to this podcast will implement strategies for you. And I encourage everyone listening to go follow Nick on LinkedIn. I'll link that up in the show notes. And then elevateleads.com. And that's ELEVAATE leads.com. Nick, if you were to talk to one sales pro, upcoming entrepreneur, what's a piece of sales advice you'd give them today?
Yeah, definitely. So I would say the number one thing is just get on LinkedIn and do the exact opposite of what everyone else is doing, which is automated messages, and just write out. And if you could do this every single day, if you just do 20 connection requests every single day that are completely personalized, you go into their profile, you write something very nice about a post or something, and you do that every single day for a month, there will be no way that you don't get either an appointment made or a client signed.
Yes. Simple.
Love consistency, that, persistent action. That's all it is.
Yeah, I love that, man. I know I kind of gave a shout out there, but where can people find you?
I would say LinkedIn and Twitter are probably my best places. But if you just want to see a brief overview of all our systems, I would go to training.elevateleads.com. And you could literally watch every single system that we have within our business that we use for prospecting.
That's awesome, man. I'll link that up in the show notes. Nick, I really appreciate it, man. And we look forward to having you back.
Most definitely. I'm excited.